Good morning and welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy and peace be with you. Today we have a very long first reading. It's the entire first chapter of the book of Genesis, where we have the first creation account, followed by the gospel taken from St. Matthew's gospel, where Jesus is telling us not to be anxious, not to worry. So we've got quite a bit to reflect on today, I think. So we worship with Christians near and far, living and departed, old and young. God's word is for all of us. May it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, speak to us that we may hear your word. Move among us, that we may behold your glory. Receive our prayers, that we may learn to trust you. And today's collect. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth and made us in your own image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works and your likeness in all your children, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns supreme over all things, now and for ever. Amen. So our first reading, as I said, is taken from the first chapter of the book of Genesis, and we also run into the first three verses of chapter 2 of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with a seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let there be signs and seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. And if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. One of the good and life-giving things about reading the Bible or hearing it read is that it invariably turns us to God, whether we like it or not. We just can't escape God. Today's first reading, the very first chapter in the Bible, puts God right on centre stage as the creator. Genesis isn't the oldest book in the Bible, despite being the first book. But the people who organised the order of the books in the Bible certainly knew what they were doing. The very first words of the very first chapter of the very first book in the Bible begins with, "In the beginning, a brand new thing is going to happen." And just as a minor diversion for a moment, you will remember that the very first three words at the beginning of St. John's Gospel are the same, "In the beginning," because John was going to tell people and us that Jesus coming to us was God's new beginning. Anyway, going back to Genesis, the writer of Genesis, this writer wasn't in existence when God created the heavens and the earth, the universes and whatever else there is that we still have no knowledge about. But the writer imagines, and that's really important, he imagines what God's act of creating must have been like. The writer had no geological knowledge, no knowledge about tectonic plates. He wasn't writing a historical account and a chronological account. He was closing his eyes and imagining how the created world as he knew it had come into being. The writer wants us to stand and look, to really see, to wonder, to be filled with awe, to be bowled over with the vastness, the beauty and the sheer miracle of creation. A microcosm of this creative process can be seen when we gaze on a newborn baby and see all its perfection, how most of the time everything is working, and we look at this baby and we're filled with awe and wonder. The beauty of this tiny, vulnerable human being, right down to the baby's tiny fingernails, its breathing and its beautiful eyes. There is God creating, and it's right in front of us. God saw everything he had made, and it was very good. Hymn writers of recent decades have tried to echo something of the wonder of creation. I have a card that was sent to me at Easter when I must have only been about 2 years old. And it was the words on it, and it's got pretty pictures of butterflies and birds and rabbits and dragonflies and flowers. I'm looking at it now because it's hanging on the wall above my desk. And it was given to me, I think, by one of my grandmothers. And the words on it say, "Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, he, God, made their glowing colours, he made their tiny wings." And you know what the chorus is, don't you? "All things bright and beautiful." And then there's another hymn, "Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it. For by his power each tree and flower was planned and made." And we only need to take a walk if we can, or open the windows and look out into our gardens, if we've got a garden, and we hear the birds singing. That's creation's voice proclaiming the Creator. Or another hymn, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made." And the chorus, "And then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee." Or the final verse of a hymn we're actually going to sing on Sunday, "All Creatures of Our God and King." And we sing, "Let all things their Creator bless, and worship him in humbleness. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Alleluia." Like the writer of Genesis, the sheer vastness and beauty of creation that is renewed day by God and which surrounds us every day prompts us, if we're turned towards God, to get on our knees and adore God in humility. As the psalmist in Psalm 8 utters, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, and the moon and the stars that you have ordained, what are mortals that you should be mindful of them, mere human beings that you should seek them out?" Or the psalmist writing in Psalm 136, which is actually the psalm set for today, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." So after all this thinking about God as creator and carer and lover of us, why have we got this gospel reading where Jesus is telling us not to worry? Why do we worry? I mean, that's a good question, isn't it? I bet, if you're like me, not a day goes by without you worrying about something. It's amazing what we worry about. The cost of living, it might be, or what'll happen tomorrow, or what'll happen to the world when so much seems to be going so terribly wrong, or what if I can't get a lift to that place I really want to go to, or what if my savings run out before I die? And Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink or wear or what people will think of you. But we all do it, don't we? Instead, Jesus tries to steer us towards looking beyond ourselves because we are so centred on ourselves, and Jesus wants us to centre ourselves on God first. Preachers are often told, when they're given a reading to prepare to preach on, it is a very good idea to see what the preceding words in that chapter, or the verses in that chapter, say, because there might be a link between the words that have been said before the reading that we're thinking about today. And today's reading from Matthew is a prime example of me needing to see the verses that precede the passage we're looking at. And if you want to look it up eventually, the reading we're looking at is Matthew chapter 6, 25 to the end. And I'm looking at earlier bits of chapter 6. One thing we find earlier on in chapter 6 is Jesus teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer. We say this prayer frequently, but do we notice the order of the words? It's so easy for us just to say things and don't actually think enough. Our Father in heaven, or our Father who art in heaven. So first of all, our focus is on God, our Father. Next line, hallowed be your name. God's name is holy. Next line, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom comes first and doing God's will comes first. And then only after those words of our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, do we reach the words, give us today our daily bread. Only here have we reached the point where we come to our own needs after we have orientated ourselves towards God. That's the Lord's Prayer. And then a few verses later, we find Jesus telling us not to store up for ourselves treasures on earth, but rather store up our treasures in heaven. Because where our treasures are, that's where our hearts will be. And our greatest treasure is knowing Jesus Christ. And that treasure we find in heaven, as well as Jesus being alive with us on earth. And to ram home the point, Jesus then says after that, that we can't serve God and money at the same time. And we so often think of our treasure as our money and wealth. Are we trusting in our material wealth more than trusting in God's providence? Are we spending time worrying about our material resources and what will happen to them rather than trusting God with them, remembering at the same time that God gave all of them to us in the first place? We all do it. Our hearts are far too set on earthly treasures rather than the heavenly treasures that God is always giving us. We so need to allow God to turn us around and change our hearts. The rabbis used to say that God calls us to live our lives combining prudence with serenity. So it won't require us to denude ourselves of absolutely everything, let go of everything we have, and then assume that we can trust God to drop into our laps all we need, lose our houses, lose our clothes, lose our food. I mean, God doesn't expect us to do that. Even Jesus had people who supplied his material needs. But we need to be prudent. Along at the same time, like Jesus, we need to trust God day by day rather than worrying and being centred on ourselves and our own needs. Cast your worries on God, trusting God in everything. That way leads to serenity. Holding lightly to what we've got, being delighted to share what we've got, to give away some of what we've got. Or if we're very, very wealthy, 99% of all we've got. People like Bill Gates, you hear, he gives away 99% of his money and he's still got millions. So I won't talk about percentages, but it's this having this holding what we have thankfully with hands that are open so that we're generous as well and trusting God, focusing on God, serving God through how we love and serve our neighbours. That will bring in God's kingdom. And then Jesus talks about living one day at a time. Now, that's terribly difficult for us, isn't it? With our diaries and our wish to plan things. That's life. But Jesus is saying to us, what is the point about worrying about tomorrow? Because you might die before you reach tomorrow. Concentrate on living in today, obeying God's will, i.e. living in the way God would wish you to live and doing today's tasks. It's God, 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 rather than me, me, me that comes first. Thomas Ken wrote these words in his hymn, if I remember rightly, I think he was around in 1600 or 1700. So it's quite an old hymn, but it's got the truth in it. The hymn, Awake my soul and with the sun thy daily stage of duty run. I found that interesting because when I was looking it up, because as you probably know by now, I've always got hymn words in my head and they come to me. And it's a very useful asset I've got in that regard. And I thought I must look up the words of that because I'm sure there's a sentence that is relevant to what I'm talking about. And looked up, it was the first hymn in my ancient and modern hymn book. And I thought, well, that's very appropriate. The very first hymn, just like the very first chapter of Genesis that we've been thinking about, Thomas Ken's hymn is published. And I'm going to read the second verse of it and then the last verse of it. And you might be very familiar with the last verse of it. But he writes, redeem thy misspent time that's past and live this day as if thy last, improve thy talent with due care, for the great day thyself prepare. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, praise him all creatures here below, praise him above angelic host, praise Father, Son and Holy Ghost. Amen. So let us declare our faith and our trust in God. we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We come to our prayers of penitence, so just in a few moments of quiet, let's just bring to God the things that are on our minds, the things that we are worrying about. To ask forgiveness for the times that we worry rather than remember to hand those worries to God and trust God with them. We say together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we come to our prayers of intercession in the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ. Let us pray to the Father. Holy God, sometimes our lives are so full of worries that we forget how you look after us through every aspect of our lives. When our worries begin to spiral out of control, help us to turn them into a conversation with you, confident that you will calm our anxiety and give us hope for the future. Thank you for the beautiful world you have given us to enjoy. Help us to live sustainably, and may your creation always remind us that you are Lord of all and Lord of our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for your church, for our new Archbishop, that you will fill her with your spirit of wisdom, love, understanding, generosity, kindness and mercy. We pray for our benefice and the work we do with other Christians in this area. Help us to strive to bring in the kingdom of God in this place, in how we live and what we say and do, and turn our hearts and lives totally to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all world leaders. We pray for our government and parliament. As more and more information is revealed with regard to Jeffrey Epstein, we remember and pray for all the victims. We pray for honesty and integrity in those who hold positions of power and responsibility. We bring before you, Lord, all those places across our world where there is war and bloodshed. where there is hunger, oppression, misery, and injustice. Lord, help us to live responsibly, honestly, and lovingly, seeking to do things in accordance to your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for all who bear the burdens of pain, sickness, bereavement, worry, and depression. We pray for those whose illness stems from anxiety. We bring before you Leslie Hewish and all others who we know, who are suffering, who are in pain. We pray that they may have an awareness of your presence and an understanding that you are bearing those burdens with them and always working towards their healing and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, through your love and mercy, you turn the darkness of death into the dawn of new life. Comfort those who grieve in their sorrow, and those who are worried about how they will cope on their own, and reassure them that you will never leave them to carry the burdens of life unaided. In a few moments of silence, we bring to our Lord those who we have loved or known, who have died recently, or their anniversary of death occurs at this time, or people who are always in our memories for whom we are so thankful. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, we ask you to lead us into the coming week. Help us to believe that you are close by us. Keep us from making mistakes and help us never to disappoint you through our words and actions. And in a moment of silence, I invite you to offer any other prayers that are on your heart. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Our final prayers. Faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love that are new every morning. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and with all those whom you love, and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.